We are looking today at 1 Kings 18, 41-46. I'd like to start by looking at that passage. This is way back in the Old Testament times, 8 centuries before Christ or so. And Elijah and Ahab are in a great conflict over the direction of the northern kingdom of Israel. And in that conflict, God has raised up Elijah to speak his word into the society, into the culture, and into the circumstances that the people face. And one of the things that he's been called to do is to pray and to shut up heaven itself so that it would not rain for 3.5 years. And the word that was given to him was, "At my word, it shall not rain." Or, "It shall not rain except at my word." And so for 3.5 years there was no rain. And then the time came when the Lord said to Elijah, "Show yourself to the king and tell him that there will be a rain, and that rain will come." And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain." And so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of the Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down to earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again 7 times. And at the 7th time, he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go up. Say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So this storm came after 3.5 years, and it came when the Lord spoke to Elijah and said, "Show yourself to Ahab," and it came when Elijah prophesied the rain, and it came when Elijah prayed in answer to his prayer. God birthed a storm that was a sign to the people of Israel that he was displeased with their idolatry, that he was sovereign and almighty, and that his power was still at work in the land if they would turn to him. This incident takes place just after Elijah has called the people of God to a sacrifice, and God answered the sacrifice with fire from heaven. Now, I am preaching on prayer because it's part of a series that I'm doing on the 6 functions of church: corporate worship, individual worship or praise, prayer, ministry of the word, fellowship, encounters with the Holy Spirit, and service or mission are the 6 functions. Right now we're on prayer, and I have to tell you, I'm going to be there for some time. I don't know how long the elements of this series will go. I'm kind of seeking the Lord. How much do you want me to talk about each element? And where do you want me to go with it? And so I think we'll be on prayer for a little while at least. Now, when I was a young Christian, very young Christian, I had an older sister who was pregnant with her 2nd child. And in her pregnancy, something went wrong, and very, very early in the pregnancy, about 6 months, she began to hemorrhage very badly. And she was taken to the hospital, and it was believed not only that she would lose her child, but that she, her own life, was in danger. And my mother at the time, she lived up in Michigan. My sister, she got on a plane and went immediately, and we were deeply concerned. And that night, I was just a new Christian, and I went to a prayer meeting. It was a service that we were praying for healing. At the end of the service, the leader of the service called everyone to gather into small groups, and we all began to pray. And of course, my thought was for both my sister and my nephew, whose life was in balance. And as I was praying, I just was seeking the Lord with my prayer group, and a woman walked over to me from the other side of the room and said, "I don't know what you've been praying about, but I know in my heart that God has answered your prayer." And I have to tell you, God answered our prayer. Not only did my sister survive, but my nephew survived. I mean, he spent months full of things and tubes and stuff poked into him. He not only survived, but he became quite a good football player. Through high school, he seemed to score touchdowns at will. I didn't pray about that. It just happened. Does prayer make a difference? Do you think it really made any difference that we were gathered together in that little circle praying? Was it just a ritual? Did anything that we did there have anything to do with what happened halfway across the country? I have to believe it did. What if we hadn't prayed? We don't know the answers to all these things, but I have to believe that there was a direct connection between the two. You see, prayer is a means by which God performs creative acts through his people. It's not that we change God's mind when we pray. It's not that we twist his arm. It's not that we impose our agenda upon him. Charles Finney said, "When I speak of moving God, I do not mean that God's mind is changed by prayer or that his disposition or character is changed. But prayer produces such a change in us, as renders it consistent for God to do as it would not be consistent for him to do otherwise." See, a prayer is a means by which God works through his people. Now, Elijah, when he was praying and he went up, he had prophesied the rain, he began to pray. And he began to ask God to move. And he put his head between his legs and it was like he was birthing something. And he sent his servant 7 times to look and see if there was any sign of rain. Because he believed that in answer to his prayer, not just his prophetic word, but in answer to his prayer, God would send the storm that he had prophesied. And so we see a number of things about prayer that all of us need to understand as believers in Christ. The first thing we see about creative prayer is that it starts with God. It does not start with our wishes and our desires and our intentions and our agenda and our preference and our dictation to God about what is supposed to happen or even our vision. It starts with God. Elijah wasn't praying for rain because it was his idea. Elijah didn't shut up the heavens because it was his idea. He did it because it was part of his mission. And as a prophet of the Lord, he was to speak into the life of the apostate people of Israel. And say, "You worship Baal. You think he gives you harvests. You worship fertility gods. You think they are taking care of you. No, it is the Lord God who controls the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land and the earth and the rain and the sustenance. And if God withholds it, you have nothing. And if God gives it, you have everything." And he needed to prophesy, though, so that the apostate people would understand that. And so this mission that God called Elijah on, it wasn't Elijah's idea, it was God's idea. And so creative prayer, what I want to call creative prayer that Elijah is engaged in, starts with Elijah. Are you listening carefully? I just said the wrong thing. It starts with God. It starts with God. So Elijah is responding to God's word and God's idea. Well, how do I know if something I'm praying about is my idea or God's idea? I have to tell you the truth. A lot of time we don't know, do we? Sometimes we can't quite discern. Is this something from me? Is it something from God? But I think our relationship with God in prayer starts a process of dialogue Prayer isn't just telling God what we want or reading a laundry list. It's a two-way communication. And we see this in Philippians chapter 3, if we would pull that verse up. Paul is talking about our relationship with Christ. He says, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. What Paul is saying is we have an ongoing relationship with God. It's not a one-way street. And if we're pursuing something and we're seeking something and we're asking something from God, even if we might think it's what He wants for us, prayer opens that two-way communication where He can adjust our thinking and reroute our direction and make clear what He really does want. It's like a ship that has to be moving in. God can steer it. There's a relationship. And John said this in 1 John. He was talking about teaching. He was talking about doctrine to an early church that didn't have scriptures. But in 1 John, in the second chapter, we're told that there's an anointing that you receive from Him. It abides in you. You have no need that anyone should teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about everything, as true as no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him. Now that has to do with doctrine. That has to do with teaching. But what John seems to be saying is that the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life is a teacher, it's a guide, it's an instructor. And so when we go about this business of prayer as individuals or as a church, it means that there's a two-way conversation. It's not just us talking to, dictating to, instructing God. It's not that at all. It is God speaking to us, guiding us, showing us His promises, showing us His will, instructing us through His Word. And as we relate to Him as a person, not a slot machine, not a dispenser of good things, but as a trinity, a tri-community, a tri-unity of three persons and one God, as we relate to Him, He relates to us. And He clarifies for us what it is that He wants for us and what He wants for us to be praying about. And I believe Elijah's relationship with the Lord was such that he was very sensitive to what God was saying. Elijah was a man who gave himself to prayer and fasting. I remember an experience once I had at Regent University years ago in the chapel. I'd spent a couple of days in prayer and in fasting. And you know, there's something about those times that you set aside that make you sensitive to what the Lord wants, that kind of gets you focused. And in that, in the chapel, they asked us to break up at the end into small prayer groups. And they said, pray for the person next to you. And there was a man next to me I'd never met in my life. And I just began to pray for him. And stuff that I was saying, I had no idea where it had come from. I started praying about things for this individual, and at the end of the prayer, he looked at me and says, how did you know? He said, you prayed things for me that were exactly what I needed. How did you know? Well, I didn't know. But just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us as we pray can have a powerful effect in the life of another person. It's a two-way street. God speaks to us when we pray. We do not just speak to Him. Though it would be nice to talk to Him once in a while. Creative prayer is a work of faith. Creative prayer is a work of faith. Elijah said to Ahab, go, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of a heavy rain. Well, there was no rain at all. There was not even a cloud in the sky. There was nothing to indicate rain. There was blue skies as far as the eye could see, but Elijah was seeing something that Ahab and no one else around him was seeing. Go eat and drink, for there's a sound of a heavy rain. Just like the woman at the prayer meeting that I was in when I prayed for my nephew halfway across the country, she saw something that you don't see simply with your eyes, but spiritually she sensed something. Charles Finney put it this way, that spirit of prayer that we have, that spirit that God is going to do something in answer to our prayer, is something that is crucial to renewal. It is crucial to revival. Praying in faith says that God is going to act. And what Finney said, I've never seen a move of God's Spirit if the church didn't have a spirit of prayer. You see, that spirit of prayer is a gift of the Holy Spirit indicating to us that God wants to act. He wants to move and He wants to do something, and He is asking us to be a partner with Him to bring something about through prayer. God will not move in our midst when there is prayerlessness, because prayer is what the Spirit does, is it stirs up God's people to pursue Him. God puts a spirit of prayer in our hearts. God's work uses tools. It uses the tool of prayer, and there is nothing too hard for Him. There's no mountain that cannot be moved, no circumstance that cannot be turned around, no drought that cannot be ended. There's nothing that prayer is unable to touch. There's nothing that God, through prayer, is unable to touch. Hudson Taylor, a great missionary of the 19th century, tells an interesting story. He was a great man of prayer, continually spent his time in prayer. And he was on his way to China, and he said, you know, our ship was in great danger. It was almost looked like our mission was going to be ended before it begun. Now remember, this was in the mid-19th centuries. There were not steam engines and power engines. There were sailing ships. And as they were sailing to China, it said they had a Sunday morning service, some of the men on board ship, and they noticed the captain and the ship's mates kind of getting anxious in the background. And after the service, they went over. They said, what's going on? And the captain said, well, we're adrift, and there's no wind, and we are going to be drifting into a shoal at any moment. And unless the wind pushes us away, we're going to be stuck here for a long time. And he said, we've tried everything that we can do to get out of this situation, but there's no wind, there's nothing we can do. And Hudson Taylor said, well, have you tried prayer? He said, there's four of us who are willing to pray. And he says, they went down and they prayed and they got an assurance that God would help them. And they came back up. And Hudson Taylor said to the first mate, he said, raise your sail because God is sending a wind. And in his account, he says here, the first officer, a godless man, was in charge, and I went over him and asked him to let the corners of the mainsail, which had been drawn up in order to lessen the flapping of the sail against the rigging, and he answered, what would be the good of that? I told him we'd been asking for a wind from God and that it was coming immediately. And we were so near the reef by this time that there was not a minute to lose. And with a look of incredulity and contempt, he said with an oath that he would rather see a wind than hear of it. But while he was speaking, I watched his eye and followed it up the topmost sail, and there, sure enough, the corner of the sail was beginning to tremble in the coming breeze. Don't you see the wind is coming? Look at the topmost sail, I exclaimed. No, it's only a cat's paw, he rejoined, a mere puff of wind. Cat's paw or not, I cried, pray let down the mainsail and let us have the benefit of it. And within a few moments, they were traveling with a strong wind at 6 or 7 knots an hour. Answered prayer, just like Elijah's answered prayer, and it's an act of faith. It's trust that God will act, even when we cannot see Him acting, and we don't see Him acting. Thirdly, creative prayer is a birthing process. Have you ever witnessed childbirth? I witnessed three. I've had the privilege of being present as my wife was giving birth. Now, there's something about childbirth that I've noticed. It's not like I experienced it personally. Something I noticed, it's not something that just happens. You don't just kind of wake up one morning and say, you know what, I had a baby last night. It's not just something you're kind of going along and all of a sudden there's a baby. No, there is a process. There is a groaning. There is a birthing process. Now, you look at Elijah. As he is praying, he has put his head between his legs. He is travailing in prayer. He is seeking the Lord and asking him to move in power over and over again. He placed the desire in Elijah's heart to see this thing come about. We're told in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit acts this way in our lives. Look at Romans 8, please. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit travails through us, pours through us, works through us as we pray, and births things. Paul said to the Galatians, I am travailing for you again, that Christ may be formed in you. Creative prayer results from an intense desire. Jesus said, ask and you will see, receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to. It is a habit, it is an attitude, it is a discipline, it is a way of life. But you say, you know, you're talking about Elijah, you're talking about a biblical character, you're talking about somebody who did miracles. I'm not like Elijah, but the scripture says differently. In James chapter 5, here is what we're told. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, just like you and I. Fifthly, if you don't know what the first four are, let me tell you. Creative prayer starts with God. It is a work of faith. It is a birthing process. It results from intense desire. And fifthly, Christ's intercession is what brought salvation for us. We see it in Isaiah 53. If you would look at Isaiah 53, verse 12. Prophetically speaking of Christ, therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for our transgressors. You see, Jesus interceded for us. He put his life in our place. He bore our sins in his own body. And not only did he pray for us, but he actually stood in the gap by giving his life on the cross. Jesus interceded for us. His act of death was the ultimate intercession. He bore our sins and carried our sorrows. And when in Gethsemane, he told his disciples, watch and pray that you not enter into temptation. And he called his disciples to pray, but they forsook him. But he prayed. He prayed 3 times. Lord, take this cup from me. And there he found the strength not to change his circumstances, but an angel strengthened him, and he found the power to walk through the hard thing, really the impossible task that was given him by his Father. Impossible for you and I, but possible for the Messiah. He found strength, even Jesus, with strong crying and tears in the place of prayer. And now we are told in Romans 8:34 that even now Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for you and I. Who's to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. You know, you may not feel like people are praying for you. Maybe you don't have someone close to you that you feel will take your interests into account. But I want you to know the Savior of the world is at the right hand of God. And He is there interceding for you. He has interceded for you. He has taken your sins upon Himself. And He now presently is in the presence of the Father. He has entered the Holy of Holies to pray for you. You are not forsaken. You are not left alone. You are not without help. You are not without recourse. You are not without God. He is here. He is with you. And He has permanently given Himself in your behalf. And so whatever praying that we pray is effective, not because we are praying, because we are praying in Jesus' name. When God looks upon us, He sees us clothed in Christ. He sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ, not in our sins, not in our iniquities, but in the righteousness of Christ. And our prayers are effective because they're made in His name. They're effective through His intercession. And He has called us to be partners with Him in prayer, to pray creatively, to pray determinedly, to pray passionately, to pray in a travailing manner, but most of all, to pray according to His will. And the only way I know to understand His will is not only to search the Scriptures, but to draw near to Him in prayer and to allow Him to speak to us. What are you facing? What are you facing? What are you facing? I don't know what you're facing, but you do. And I want you to know that God is close. God will hear, and He has already stated clearly in Scripture that you can find grace to help in time of need. Whatever your need is, I want to encourage you and remind you of that. Gordon MacDonald wrote in an article, "Praying That Makes a Difference." He said, "Prayers can be said by one person or uttered by many. Prayers can be sung, spoken, written, or groaned. Prayers can be liturgical, like a symphony carefully composed and often repeated, or they can be spontaneous, like jazz, improvised and incapable of exact repetition. Short or long, asking or thanking, shouting or silent, prayer takes many, many forms." Sometimes our desires are not necessarily in line with God's will for us, or our desires for a loved one, or something has entered our life that puzzles us or frustrates us, or maybe even it scares us. And sometimes because of this, we lose faith and we lose confidence and we lose our ability to persevere and we let our hands down. We say, "God, where are you?" We say, "You know, this is just taking too long. It's not what I expected. This prayer thing isn't working the way I was led to believe that it would." And I'm not telling you today that if you pray and persevere, you're going to get your way. But He will get His way with you. And when He gets His way with you, everything is all right. Even when outwardly it doesn't look all right. You know, I had an experience. I told you about this before, but Jane was 5 months pregnant with our youngest son. And there was no movement whatsoever. We were not our youngest son, our first son. And we were very, very concerned. Nothing had happened. There was no movement, and we thought, Lord, this is bad. We're concerned. And we went to a prayer meeting. We were actually on vacation in the in Delaware on the shore, and we went to a worship service at a restaurant that rented the restaurant Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We went to the prayer service, to the worship service. It was okay. You know how we judge worship service? Oh, it was okay. It was okay. It was okay service. The message, it was okay. Worship, it was okay. But the prayer wasn't okay. The prayer did not meet my standards. Because when they said, who has a prayer need, we raised our hand. And we were worried about this situation. And almost literally, the elders ran around the room anointing people with oil. I said, well, this isn't going to get anything. I said to myself, they just kind of anointed and they moved on. I didn't get to tell them anything. I felt like Naaman. I thought surely he would come and call out to God. And I walked out of the room. As I was walking down the street, I sensed the voice of the Lord. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? And it was just like this cloud the size of a man's hand rising. Something's going to happen. That very night, we were lying down, and Jane said, oh my goodness, there's something going on in here. Feel this. And there was a game of soccer going on in there. There's only one player. Didn't meet my standards. But it met God's standards. It's all that matters. Now listen, Jesus has given his life for us. He's interceded for us. He wants to answer our prayers. And I want us to do something very unusual this morning. There are people in this room who are part of our prayer ministry. And I was praying for you last night. I think this is a very special time in our service, and sometimes we just walk through it. I want you to know that the Lord wants you to use you in prayer ministry. He wants to anoint you and give you grace to pray for people. So I'm going to ask you, if you're a prayer team or you're involved in prayer ministry in this church, would you please come forward right now? And not just today's prayer team, but our prayer teams generally. Please come forward. Now you can just stand right here facing this way, and I'm going to ask elders and wives, please come and stand with these people. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the ministry of prayer that you have given to us as a congregation. May it never become anything that we take for granted. May it become something that we are expecting, just as David spoke to us earlier. In the morning, you will hear our prayer and we will look up. Lord, I pray for this entire congregation as we pray. We will expect answers. We will expect to hear. We will receive guidance and direction. And Lord, I pray for our prayer teams that, Lord, they will come with a prepared heart, an expectant heart, and you will use them in a way that is surprising, that is unexpected. Lord, not necessarily spectacular, but remarkable because it is empowered by your Spirit. I ask you now, Lord, for each person who offers prayer in this congregation for another person, that they'll begin to sense the stirring of the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, and yes, the power of miracles, even as my wife and I experienced many years ago, even as my sister and nephew experienced many years ago. May today be a day when faith is kindled in our spirits. I just ask you just to begin to pray in the Spirit for one another for these people. Just begin to pray the Lord's blessing. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Lord. We worship you. Worship you. Worship you, Lord. And Father, I pray that as people come for prayer, they will come expecting that you are going to answer, that you're going to show yourself strong in our behalf, that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.